Okay, source of life. Hopefully by this time, you're starting to get a little bit of an idea of what source of life is. You may have even, in your small groups, you may have even kind of, some of this may have come up. You may have started to have seen some of this. Mike, can I get somebody to close that back door? Because the glare from inside is like, I can't see you when I look out there when that door's open. So let me give you an example of source of life. Before we start, just so we're kind of tracking, we're on the same page. A lady came to me for prayer, and her presenting issue was anger, but really it was, she was very distraught and upset because she had a young adult son who didn't have a job. He had become involved in some criminal activity. He was homeless, and he kept calling her and asking for money and asking if he could live at home. But, I mean, this kid's just trouble. And it's like, as a mom, she wants to help her son, but she knows that she's killing him by just supporting him in this lifestyle that he's living. And so she's just really torn up about this relationship and what do I do now? But she's also just very angry at the whole situation. Like, that there was just a lot of anger there. And so we sat down to pray, and she started off by saying things like, you know, I owe it to my son to be there. I'm his mother. If I don't take care of him, no one's going to take care of him. I have to take care of him. And she said, you know, when he was young, he had temper tantrums, and he was bullied in school, and no one took up for him. And she was a single mom at that time. She said, I was the only one that believed in him. I was the only one that took up for him. And so I said, okay, I just want you to focus on that, on those feelings, and I just began to pray. I just asked the Lord to lead her. And she said, you know, I can't let him go. He's vulnerable. I have to take care of him. It's like, okay, I'm just still asking the Lord to lead. Well, she went to a memory, but this time it's her. And she said, you know, when I was in school, I was bullied. And she said, I remember that this just kept happening in junior high. I just kept being bullied every day in school. And she said, finally, I began to fight back, and I began to threaten people. And when she said that, I just knew this is a source of life issue. And I just believed that that was, the Holy Spirit was showing me that. And so I started to, I asked Jesus to show her what she was thinking and feeling when she was being bullied. Because I'm looking for a clear statement of this source of life. And I'm going to explain a little bit more about that in a minute. But I just asked the Lord to show her what she was thinking and feeling during this time that she was being bullied. And these are the conclusions that she said. The world is against me, so I feel anxious and worried. No one likes me. I get run over, and I'm all alone. I said, okay. So let's ask the Lord how you deal with those feelings. And I asked the Lord to show her, and these are the ways that she handles this anger, which this anger is something that she's using to protect herself. Like when she decided as a young person that she was going to fight back, that anger was what fueled that. It protected her from being bullied in school. She was able to threaten people with a lot of anger, and it made people back off. And so I asked the Lord to show her how she dealt with her anger, and she said, she would fight and she would lash out, that she was angry. Sometimes she would withdraw and be quiet. I mean, this anger had a lot of different manifestations and looked a lot of different ways in her life. But as she began to tell me all the ways that she used anger, it became apparent to her and to me that it's something that she used every day. Like, it's always there, helping her cope with her life. And so then I said, okay, let's ask Jesus to show you how living this way affects your life. And so these are some of the effects that as we go through, Jesus began to show her. She said, I worry all the time. I eat. I withdraw, and that hurts my family. I am an emotional wreck. I can't stop lashing out, and it's aging me because it's this constant battle. It just wears me out all the time. I said, okay, that list probably could have been a lot longer, but we both just got tired of listing stuff. So then I said, okay, Lord, would you show her how she benefits from using anger this way. And these are the things she said. Eating comforts me and calms me down. I can cover things up. It allows me, when I withdraw from people, it allows me to cover up and have that separation. I can isolate myself. When I'm angry and I lash out, it feels good because I'm venting. It feels like a relief valve, and that feels good in the moment. It has bad consequences, but it feels good. She also said, I use anger to attack myself because it's easier for me to reject me than for me to feel the rejection that comes from other people. So that's a big benefit. And there were several other. The last one she said was anger is power. That's a benefit to her, that this anger, she was using it to become more powerful. So I said, okay, would it be all right if I asked Jesus what he thinks about you using anger this way? And I kind of reviewed the effects and the benefits. And she said, yeah, I want to know what Jesus thinks. So I asked Jesus to come and show her what he thought. And she said, oh, it hurts him. He wants me to know he's got my back. I said, okay. So I said, Jesus, what do you want her to do about it? And she said, he wants me to let it go. But she said, I don't know how to let it go. I'm like, okay. And so we just continued to pray. One of the things that she had to do in order to let that go was she had to forgive her dad because he was a part of that bullying thing that she was going through in junior high. And she had to forgive the kids in the school that bullied her. And then she could let it go. And then Jesus came, and she let go of this way of living her life that had controlled her life since junior high. And so now she's free of that automatic response of anger. She's free of having to respond to that way. So the difference before was that anger was always there, and she had to have it and needed it, even though it was killing her. She couldn't stop eating. She couldn't stop the bad habits. But once she repented of that and gave it up, now she goes out to live her life. And so the next week, you know, she goes back into the same situation. Her son's life is still a mess, and there's a lot of things in her life that are still not perfect, not the way any of us would want to live. But now, instead of automatically responding in anger, now she can say, okay, Lord, my son is calling and asking for money again. What do you want me to do? And I talked to her after that, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, her son called the next week and asked for money, and she said instead of just going into a rage on the phone, she said, I just was able to stop and listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit told me what to say. And she said, even though my son got angry and was cussing me out on the phone and everything, she said, I was able to stay calm and to just say, son, I love you. This is not the life I want for you. And I don't have to listen to you cuss me out anymore, so I'm hanging up now. And she said, you know what? I never got upset. I didn't get upset during the conversation. I didn't get upset after I hung up the phone. I wasn't angry. I'm not angry. I don't have to be angry anymore. And she had a choice. She could have responded the way she had always responded before, but she didn't have to anymore. She wasn't compelled to use that anger. So that's just an example of what Source of Life looks like. I want to go into a little bit about sort of the foundation of what Source of Life really is. In 1 John 5:21, this is at the end of this letter that John has written to these believers, Christians that John is the one who went out and took the gospel message to them. You know, they're his little children. Over and over in the letter of 1 John, John addresses them as my little children, my beloved little children. These are people that he feels very close to and that spiritually they are his children. He's the one that has established this church. Now, this church had undergone severe persecution, and in the letter, he's encouraging them, and he's saying, you know, you've withstood the persecution. You've done a good job. And he's giving them instruction on how to continue on in their faith. And finally, in the 5th chapter, at the very end of the letter, John says this, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, that doesn't really make sense in the context that I understand, these are his disciples. They're people that have believed and not sacrificed their beliefs. They haven't recanted their belief, so much so that they've endured physical persecution to their bodies and everything else. And now John is warning them not to worship idols. Are these the kind of people that would worship idols? Like these people who have given their own lifeblood for Jesus Christ, now they would turn and worship, like a wooden pole or a rock statue? That doesn't make any sense. And it's because my idea of an idol was that. It was some kind of image. But I don't think that's what John was talking about. When John was saying, keep yourselves from idols, I think John understood very clearly that it's very possible for us to make all kinds of substitutions for God. And it doesn't necessarily have to be what you and I would think of as an idol. And this, the example that I used, this lady was using anger as a source for her life. It had become the way that she survived, the way that she lived. She gained benefit from it. So she was gaining a kind of life from that anger. But it wasn't God. It wasn't the life that God wanted her to have. And anything that if I'm worshiping something, I am receiving life from that thing. So my friend that had this anger, she was receiving a life from this anger because she was using it and worshiping it in her life because it had taken the place that only that God is jealous to have in our life. He wants to be the one source that we have. And so there are areas in our life a lot of times that we are unaware of where we have put that thing in a place that only God wants to be in, because God wants to be my source and he wants to be the source. And in this case, when this lady was set free from this anger as an idol, then she was able to hear the Holy Spirit and she was able to obey. But as long as anger was her idol, the only thing she could do was respond to that anger. She didn't have the option of following the Holy Spirit because she had given herself to this anger. And so that's what a source of life issue is. Remember the illustrations from yesterday. When I'm connected to the vine, when I'm connected to Jesus, then I have good fruit that comes out of my life. I don't have to work for that fruit. When I'm connected with Jesus, I have love, I have joy, I have peace, I have patience. It just flows like this ever, like this bubbling upstream that just flows out of me, flows out of me, flows out of me. Any place where that's not true, then I'm connected to a source that's not God. So going on in 1 John, he says in 1 John 5, 13 through 15, he's writing to the people and he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Probably some of the most confusing verses in the Bible. And here's what, in this revelation that God has brought us about source of life, finally these verses began to make sense to me. So I just want to share that with you. Eternal life. He says that you have eternal life. I always thought eternal life was the place I would go when I died. But that's not what John is talking about. When I'm connected with the Holy Spirit and I have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness flowing out of my life, that's eternal life. That's the eternal life that John was talking about. That eternal life began the moment I began to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's going to continue forever. And so that life eternal is something that I want in greater and greater measure in my life as long as I'm here on the earth, and then it never stops. It just keeps going on the longer I'm in relationship with God. So eternal life is not a destination. It's a quality of life that I live right now. And it's also the power that's released through that. The eternal life of God is a thing that enabled Jesus to rise from the dead, right? It's that same life. It is life unstoppable. Life unstoppable. Life that death cannot touch in any form or fashion. That's what eternal life is. What John is saying is when I'm connected to that eternal life, my prayers get answered. Because when I'm connected to that eternal life, it's impossible for me to pray a prayer that is not in agreement with God's heart. Every prayer that I'm praying connected to the vine is going to happen. It can't not happen. God was the one who chose to work his plan through humanity. If the reality of God is going to be made known when you and I release it on this earth. And God chose to do it that way. So I'm in union with God, and we have this one heart, one mind. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, I'm going to be with the Father so that you can be with the Father just like I am, so that you can be with me. I'm going to be with the Father. We're all going to be together. It's this united thing. We're all going to be together. And when we're all together, when I'm together with the Holy Spirit, then I'm releasing the kingdom of God on this earth. And so whatever I ask in that place, yeah, I've got it. But I have to ask for it. I have to know to ask for it. And I know to ask for it because of this union that I have between me and the Father. So Jesus said, if any man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. The only way that that fruit of God is released in my life and the only way that it's released on the earth is when I remain in him. Because self-effort or anything that I do on my own is only going to produce death. It's only going to produce the opposite of that eternal life. And we said this before, but I think I just need to say it again. Because I know that's true, that in every place that I'm connected with God, the good things of God are there and they're released. Any place I'm not connected with God, there's going to be bad fruit. Because I know that's true, then I can be honest about my life. If there's a place in me and the fruit is not good, then obviously there must be some place that I'm disconnected from God. There must be some place that I'm out of step with him. I'm a visual person, and so sometimes I just think about it this way. It's like Jesus is there, and we're holding hands, and we're walking along. But in some place, I've let go of his hand. And he's still right there, but I'm not holding his hand anymore. And when I'm not holding his hand and I'm doing things on my own, that's when I start to get hurt. That's when I start to stumble and fall. That's when I'm in the darkness. I'm in the shadow. And all I have to do is realize, oh, I've let go of his hand, and I can reach back up and grab hold of his hand because he's always reaching out to me. When we're dealing with source of life issues, that's what we're doing. We're taking people to the place where they can take hold of Jesus' hand again and be brought back into the light and back into a walk with him. That is the definition of sin. So many times we think that sin, when we say sin, we're really talking about the bad fruit. We're not talking about sin the way the Bible defines sin. When we as Christians use the word sin, we're talking about the bad fruit, the acts that are the things that come about because I stepped off the path way back here. That's not what sin is. That's not what the Bible means when it says sin. When the Bible's talking about sin, every place that you read that word sin in the Bible, it's talking about that thing of letting go of Jesus' hand. It's literally an archery term, the word sin, and it means to miss the mark. It means I had good intentions. I didn't want to let go of Jesus' hand. I didn't even realize I did it. But it's just to miss the mark. Now, okay. 1 John 5:16 through 18 says, if anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death, and I am not saying that we should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is a sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. Again, what in the world is John talking about? Difficult verses, but when you understand what I just explained to you about sin, and you understand source of life, then that makes perfect sense. What John is saying is that, like Alan was saying about the lady who has the headache, those headaches are from a demonic source, you know, because, and that demon is there because there's independence somewhere. There's some place where she stepped off the path. She doesn't see it, or she probably wouldn't do it anymore. We would like to take her to the place where she stepped off the path so that she can take Jesus' hand again. If she keeps coming, and we have authority over that demon, if I keep praying for her and Jesus and the demon is rebuked and the demon leaves just for a moment and she gets a temporary relief from the headache, but she never deals with this independence back here, then that demon can keep coming back and tormenting her. She just leaves and gets a headache again. Now I want to ask you, am I helping her if I continue to heal her, to give her a temporary respite from her pain, but I never deal with the reason the pain is there? And that's what John is saying. John's saying, don't do that. Don't enable people. You know, don't pray for this thing to go away. Like my friend that had the anger thing. It would be wrong for me to pray for her that she's not angry anymore, because what good would that do? There was a reason she was angry. She was worshiping anger. She was using it. But until she saw that, she could not be set free from it. So John was not saying don't have compassion on people. What he was saying is be free from your idolatry. Be only connected to Jesus. And so I want to help people be connected to Jesus. If they're in pain, I can't be moved by that pain. I've got to see it the way God sees it. Maybe God wants them to deal with this issue, and the only way to get them to deal with it is to feel what this pain is right now. I mean, I know that was true for me. One of the reasons, I told you guys yesterday about some of the drastic things that were happening to me before I went to Freedom Prayer. You know why that had to happen? Because I'm a strong person, and I wouldn't get help from anybody. I was going to do it myself. That had been, from the time I was a really little kid, that's what I said to myself over and over, I'll do it myself. I'll take care of myself. I'll do it myself. And I don't need help from anybody, and I'm strong, and I can do it. And I was strong because God had made me strong. So I got to the point where literally I couldn't take it anymore, and I had to get help. God had to allow that to happen so that I would be desperate enough to seek out the solution that he had instead of trusting myself to do it. So anytime anyone tried to shield me from that pain, they were only prolonging the pain because God was using it to bring me to a place where I would allow him to heal me the way he wanted to. So we have to be, in dealing with source of life, that's what we're doing. We are taking people back to that place of independence where they first stepped away from God. Now, sin is missing the mark. So there is a sin that doesn't lead to death. There is a sin that's not the source of life sin. And it's like this. It's more like this. I don't have a source of life issue. I've just had a really busy day. Maybe I've had a really busy few days, and I haven't really gotten all the sleep that I should have. Like, I wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit, and I didn't get all the sleep I should have, and I haven't eaten right today. I've eaten a bunch of sugar, and now my kids all come home, and they start bickering, and I lose my temper and blow up at them. I'm not worshiping anger. I had a bad moment. I had a bad day. I missed the mark in that moment, but I don't have a source of life anger issue because that happened. Now, that sin is different from the source of life sin. And that's what John is talking about here. He's making a differentiation between source of life and just mistakes and just making bad judgments. Okay? Okay, so dealing with Source of Life and Freedom Prayer. I will, when I sit down to do Freedom Prayer with people, I'll go through the interview, I'm asking those questions, following the feelings. It would be wonderful if I got to the lie in as I'm doing Freedom Prayer, but what happens a lot of times is we get one of the sidetracks, one of those rooms is that Source of Life room. How do you know you're dealing with a Source of Life issue? It's going to be, one of the things that I look for is like, it's a reactionary thing. Like, I'm like this friend of mine when she said that she learned to fight back when she was being bullied. I know it wasn't just at that moment that that happened. She's been fighting back ever since then. And how did I know that? I didn't know this lady really well. So how did I know that? I just felt like the Holy Spirit was showing me that that was true. And so I asked. I just asked the Lord, is this something that she still does today? Yes, it is. And so for every source of life issue, there's going to be effects and there's going to be benefits. And so when I'm dealing with this source of life issue, I'll ask the Lord to reveal the effects of the source of life, and I'll ask him to reveal the benefits. Like, how does this affect them? And I try to use the words, the statements like that they would use. Like, remember yesterday I told you about my friend that felt like she had to protect herself because her mother had wanted to abort her when she was a baby. I have to protect myself was the statement that embodied that source of life thing in her. There was a lot of different ways that she protected herself. And so one of the first things I did is I said, Lord, would you just show her how she protects herself? And there are all these different ways that she protected herself. And then I said, okay, Lord, now show her how that affects her life. And there's a list, and you just keep praying until the Holy Spirit says that's enough, you don't have to list anymore, or until you get to the end of the list. And then, okay, so, but I know there's all these negative effects, but I also know there's got to be some benefit or I wouldn't be doing it. And it's like a fringe benefit. I mean, it's not a real benefit, but it is a benefit. I benefit somehow from doing this. How do you benefit from protecting yourself? And so there's this list of how you benefit. And then when I get through all that, the picture usually by then is pretty clear. The person's like, wow, I didn't realize this was so big in my life. And so then I ask, Lord, would you show them how you feel about it? And if you've seen everything you're supposed to see, Jesus will come and he'll tell the person how he feels about it. And Jesus is always so gentle and so kind. The ways that he responds to people are amazing. It just melts your heart. It melts their heart. And it's like, oh, I don't think I want to do this anymore. This is not a good idea. And so then you get a chance to say, okay, Jesus, I'm not going to assume that I know what they're supposed to do. I'm going to ask Jesus. Now, Jesus, what do you want them to do about this? Because in the case of this lady, he told her to let it go. But sometimes he may say, lay it down. Sometimes he may say, give it up. I mean, he may say anything. And what he says at that moment is exactly what that person needs to hear. So I want Jesus to say that to them. I don't want to tell them, do you want to let this go? I'm not going to ask that. I'm going to let Jesus show them that. What does he want them to do? And then you can take them through the prayer. And we've got the repentance prayer written in the manual. In my notes, I have an acronym that I write down when I get to that point in my notes. And it's this, RBBR. And sometimes I'll put a check there when they go through it. Because after they've gone through all this stuff, I want to remember that they've repented. I've led them through that prayer. That I've bound the demonic, because this was independence and I know the demonic is there, even though it may or may not have manifested. Repent, bind, I break the power of the demonic, and then I release the Holy Spirit. I release Jesus to fill them and to bring new life to them in this area and to bring revelation. And a lot of times when I get through that, I'll ask Jesus to just come and speak to them about I do it this way. Jesus, would you show them how their life is going to be different because of what they gave up or laid down or whatever today? And it's amazing the kind of encouraging words that Jesus will give them, the visions that he'll give them, the things that he shows them. Now, once I take someone through that, a lot of times I'll encourage them. Now, look, as you go out this next week, you're going to be tested. The same situations are going to come up that came up before. And you may even be tempted to handle it the same way you've handled it before. The difference is that before, you would have just automatically responded a certain way. You didn't have any choice. Now, you're going to have a choice. You can respond the way that you did before, or you can ask the Holy Spirit how you're supposed to respond. Now, this happened to me. We had dealt with a huge source of life issue, and so and it had to do with the way I communicated with my husband. Anytime he asked me certain questions, I would feel like this wall would go up, and I could not respond. I wouldn't talk to him. I wouldn't respond in any way. And so it was really harming our communication. There were certain issues that I just couldn't communicate with him at all. I wouldn't. And so that was the thing that had me go for freedom prayer, went through a source of life issue, got to the point, repented, broke all that stuff. And so I'm going back to my husband, right? So I know this is going to come up. It's going to be tested. And it's like, oh, Lord, help me. I mean, I've responded this way for so long. I honestly can't imagine what it will look like. Like, I don't know what my life's supposed to look like now. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. It's like, okay, God, I'm just trusting you that it's going to be different than it was. So about two or three nights later, Chris was sitting at the computer, and he asked me a question. And I didn't answer. I turned around and walked out of the room, and I'm brushing my teeth. I'm getting ready for bed. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, you just did it. Like, oh, I did. I just did it. That's that thing I used to always do that I said, I gave up. I gave that up 2 days ago. Like, I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. He said, just don't do what you did before. Like, okay, that's good enough for me. So this is what I would have done before, so I'm not going to do this. So I put my toothbrush down, rinsed my mouth out, I went in, and I stood beside Chris. He's still at the computer, and he's getting uncomfortable because I'm standing there. He's like, what? I said, I just need you to stop that for a minute and look at me. He's like, okay. And I said, look, here's the deal. This source of life thing, I gave it up. This wall that goes up between us when you say certain things or ask certain things, I'm not going to do that anymore. And that statement that you made a while ago hurt my feelings. And I don't even know if I'm doing this right. I don't know if I'm handling it right. I just know that this is not what I ever would have done before, and so I'm doing it right now. And I'm not angry with you, but I'm just not going to do what I did before. And he's like, oh. And it opened up a whole new realm of communication for us, because the thing that hurt my feelings that he said, he didn't even mean it that way. And once he was given the opportunity to explain what he meant, I realized that he was just asking for more information. He wasn't trying to put me on the defensive. But what I'm trying to illustrate to you is that once that source of life is broken, a lot of these source of life things have been lifelong habits. They're habits, and we do them habitually. But once the source of life thing is broken, the habit is broken. It doesn't have to be that way anymore, and I can choose to live my life a different way. Whereas, as long as I'm under this source of life thing, I don't have a choice. My choice is taken away. I'm going to automatically respond. So that's the difference. Went through that. Let me talk just a minute about confession and repentance. This is the verse that I find myself using over and over and over again when I'm getting to the point of leading someone through repentance. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So when I've gotten somebody through the source of life and we're to the part of repentance, a lot of times people say, I want to repent of this. I want to give it up, but I just don't understand. I don't understand how my life could ever be different. I don't understand how I can give this up. I go through this verse with them. Almost everyone that I lead through repentance will talk about this, because I think a lot of times we've misunderstood. I had a misunderstanding about what repentance was. if we confess our sins, that word confess means, it's the Greek word homologeo, and it means same word. What it means is, confess is where I, the way I say it is I see it the way God sees it. We've just gone through this source of life thing, and we have all these effects, and we have all these benefits, and we've heard what Jesus said. Now I can see it the way God sees it. And I'm agreeing with him. I'm saying, God, you're right. This was a bad idea, and I need to let it go. That's confession. When I'm confessing, I'm agreeing with God. So the Bible says that if I confess, if I say the same thing God says, that he's faithful. He's the one who forgives us. And so all I have to do is say, God, I don't want to do this anymore. That's what repentance is. It's confessing it, seeing it the way God sees it. Repentance is, you're right, God, I don't want to do that anymore. And then I'm asking him to forgive me, to break the power of that thing over me, and to cleanse me. Those places where I've given myself to something else, he claims back, and he cleans me, and I get to connect with him again. And so it's that when I'm praying for people, I will use those words. When I lead someone in a prayer, God, please forgive me for living my life this way. I don't want to do it anymore, and I ask you to come and cleanse me. I'll lead them through that prayer, and then I will pray for them. So that is what repentance is. The prayers that we pray for, that RBBR, repentance, binding, breaking, those are written out in the manual. I've got other examples written out in the manual of Source of Life. It was a little hard to get my head around that one when we first started it, but Alan's right. Source of Life issues and knowing how to deal with those has been huge in us being able to help people to emotional freedom. Okay, it is almost 3:20. A coping mechanism is a broader category. Source of Life is one type of coping mechanism. But remember, coping mechanisms can be other things too, like that intellect thing, where everything that I say or everything Jesus says has to go through this intellectual filter. And that, and it's like that in itself is just something like, oh, yeah, that's, I need to stop doing that. God wants me to repent of that and not do it anymore. But it's not something that I have. The difference between that and a source of life is I have this whole life structure built on it. And I have this long list of effects and benefits. And I tell you, one of the ways you can tell the difference between like a simple, if there is such thing as a simple coping mechanism and a source of life, without seeing the effects, the benefits, the ways I do it, I can't lay down a source of life issue because it's too interwoven and I don't see it all. Until I see all that stuff, I can't really see it the way God sees it. But in doing freedom prayer, there are times when I've been sitting with someone in freedom prayer and this coping mechanism pops up. It's not a source of life. It's just sort of the way they handle things. I'm praying with someone and they can't go any further because of their fear of experiencing pain or because they're unwilling to experience pain. So I'll ask Jesus to come. It's like, God, this person's afraid of experiencing this pain or unwilling to experience this pain. Would you show them how you feel about that? Jesus will speak to them. We'll talk a little bit about pain. Like I talked to you guys earlier, if I have a fever, if I have an infection, I want to have a fever. A fever's good. Pain is not a bad thing. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, God, I don't want to let pain stop me anymore. Okay, I'm ready to go on now. Oh, that was a coping mechanism. It was a way they handled it, but now we're ready to move on. And we didn't have to go through this long list of effects and benefits. But if it's a source of life thing, it's going to be like more interwoven than that. I can talk to you. If you guys have more questions about that, it's probably better if I just talk to you later. You can ask me. You can ask Alan. Alan will have a little bit better, a different way of explaining it than I have. And so really, you just have to, as you do it, I think you'll be able to see those more and more. Okay. Let's break into small groups again, and let's come back here at, let's meet back in here at 4:15.